you turn with me, please, to the passage for today in God's Word, the book of Psalms, and Psalm 89. The book of Psalms and Psalm 89. As the Lord would help us, we might consider together verse 15. Psalm 89 at verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Especially the first part of the verse. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Trumpets were important in Israel. If there was war, if there was an invasion of the land, then the trumpet would be blown, the watchman would summon the people to battle, the trumpet being used to gather the people for defence. And whenever a victory was won, the trumpet would again be blown, summoning the people and telling them there was no need to continue fighting, no need to continue pursuing the enemy as the enemy fled. Return home, the victory is ours. But the trumpet wasn't only used when it came to warfare. The trumpet was used in worship. The trumpet was used to express, amongst other things, the joy of the worshipper as he rejoiced in the Lord. As the trumpet was blown in the Old Testament worship, there was that sense of, it was symbolizing the sense of joy which we should have in praising God. But it was something that was also used in prayer. The trumpet was used, according to Numbers chapter 10, at verses 9 and 10. The trumpet was used to remind God, as it were, of trouble. A difficult situation arose, the land was oppressed, and he shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and he shall be remembered before the Lord your God. So as they were crying out to God for help, the trumpet, as it were, was like a prayer ascending, not only saying to Israel, gather to fight, but calling upon God to come and help them. And their numbers also. We read that they were to blow the trumpet with their burnt offerings. So here was that prayer, as it were, going up. Lord, accept our worship, our sacrifice. But the trumpet was not only used in the day of war or in the Old Testament worship. It was also used to speak of God's majestic voice. You think of a trumpet, a distinctive, majestic sound, and how it speaks to us of the majestic voice of God going forth with sovereign, royal authority. It was blown at the Feast of Trumpets, which was in the first day of the seventh month. That month when atonement was made on the 10th day of the seventh month. And especially it was blown on the day of Jubilee. Blown to announce that the atonement had been made. And that the day of Jubilee, the day of the blessings of the gospel, had come. And so when we think of the blowing of the trumpet in the Old Testament, one of the things it spoke of was of God's announcement that of the fact that when atonement has been made, when the sacrifice has been offered, an atonement made, then blessings flow. Atonement brings blessings to those who share in that atonement and that sacrifice for sin. And so, the trumpet could come to symbolize God announcing to sinners the blessings of the gospel. And especially the blessings of the gospel as it were shown on the day of Jubilee. That day that occurred infrequently in Israel, but that day that reminded the Jews of the blessings of salvation. In Luke chapter 4, we read that the Lord Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to announce the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of acceptance with God, or his day of Jubilee. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, is what Paul could see. And therefore the gospel was symbolized by the day of atonement, by the day of Jubilee, and by the blowing of the trumpet, giving a joyful sound, saying, look, there are blessings to be had because Christ has died. And therefore it can be said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Friend, have you heard the joyful sound of God speaking in the gospel? Have you heard the joyful sound of God announcing in the gospel that there is a year of acceptance, a day of salvation, a day of Jubilee? And can it be said of you that you know it and are rejoicing in it and know the blessings of that gospel? Let's consider this, these words as they speak to us of the gospel tonight. We notice three things. First of all, the gospel is like a trumpet sounding out good news. The gospel sounds out good news. And then secondly, the reception given to this joyful news. And then thirdly, the effect of knowing this joyful news. First of all then, the gospel sounds out joyful news. What does it speak of? Well, like the day of Jubilee, it speaks of the release of the debtor. Remember how every 50 years there was the year of Jubilee. And at that time, certain blessings came. And one blessing was this. There was the release of the debtor. Every 50 years, debts were cancelled. It didn't matter whether you had a small debt or a great debt, whether you owed 50 pence or £50,000, it didn't matter. The debt was cancelled. It ceased to exist. Well, are you someone who owes a lot of money? What joy it must have been when it came to the year of Jubilee, that 50th year, when it came to that day, when the trumpet was blown, it was a joyful sound because it said you who were a great debtor were suddenly freed from your debt, released as if you have no debt because it ceased to exist. Friends, think of the mess our own country is in. Many individuals are in because of their debts today. Can you imagine a situation where it would be said, the debt's cancelled? The relief it would give our politicians. The relief it would give many households to know the debt was cancelled. Well, that's what the year of Jubilee announced. And friend, is that not what the gospel announces? The cancellation of debts. Because it declares the free forgiveness of God to those who are impoverished, indebted sinners. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our debts are sins. That which we owe to God's law and which we have failed
to pay. And therefore, we are as debtors to keep the whole law. We have failed. And the gospel declares that there is a way of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. It declares that the debtor can be forgiven because there is one who has paid the debt that he owes to the law. Friend, what do you owe to the law? Perfect obedience. And as we were thinking of this morning, none of us manages that. The angry word. Like murder. How often we've murdered people with our angry words. Never mind our calling them fools or blockheads. How often we have sinned with sinful anger. And therefore we are great debtors. And we have failed to live up to the law. And the law says, cursed is everyone who continues not in everything to have written the book of the law to do it. And you see, here was this great announcement at the end of the day of Jubilee. The trumpet, at the end of the day of atonement, the trumpet was blown. Because atonement had been made. God's free forgiveness was declared. The goat had been taken and killed. And offered in sacrifice. The other goat, the sin likewise confessed over it, and is led into the wilderness, taken out of the camp. What's the picture? Sin removed. It's no longer with you. A picture of what Christ would achieve by his death on the cross. Friend, is that not good news? That there is the release of the debtor. Are you looking to Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace? Have you felt yourself a sinner? Are you complaining about how often you break God's commandments and you feel you are worthy of his condemnation? Here is good news for you. There is one who has paid the debt of sin for all who are found in him. Trust in him. Lay a hold of him as the way to deal with your sin. And you shall know the forgiveness, the release from the debt that you owe to the law. You shall know forgiveness. Remember the woman who was a sinner, who was so overcome with a sense of her sin as she washed the feet of the Lord Jesus. Simon the Pharisee, what's he saying? Why is this man Jesus? If he was this holy man, a teacher, allowing this, she loved much because she was forgiven much. Friend, you need forgiveness. There's the only way of forgiveness. What joyful news. But the year of Jubilee also spoke of liberty for the captives. You see, every 50th year, on the day of Jubilee, all who were enslaved were released. Someone had somehow had to sell themselves into slavery to be a bond servant. Well, they could walk free. They were released. What joy. I'm no longer a slave. I can do my own thing. No longer am I told what to do. I can now be my own boss. Liberty for the captives. Friend, is that not what's announced in the gospel? In the gospel, what is there? The announcement of liberty. You see, you and I, by nature, are slaves to the law of God. Duty bound to keep it. And yet we cannot. And it becomes a great burden. Because we realize we can't do what we must do. But what liberation when a person realizes Christ came into the world to deliver his people from being under the law as a rule of righteousness. He came to deliver his people from the Old Testament regulations that they might walk in freedom and in newness of life. Are you heavy burdened? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's good news from the gentle, meek Saviour. Liberty for the captives, friend. You complain about the power of sin in your life. Perhaps you want to break free from certain things and you're struggling. What's the problem? You're a slave to sin. And the truth be told, you're a slave to Satan and you cannot break its power. But Christ, you see, is able to renew you. He is the one who is able to wash the soul, to renew the soul, to give life and to give a new heart, to deliver the prisoner, and to bring life and liberty. You need to look to Christ. You need to look to Him to break the power of sin in your life and to enable you to be holy. What's the gospel? There is liberty for those who are captives. Stop trying to reform your life. Yes, repent of your sin. But look to the Lord to break its power. Are you not even a slave to death, and one day you will die? But Christ has triumphed over sin and the grave for all who trust in Him. You see, there's liberty for the captives, for a joyful sound is the gospel. But another thing, there is restoration of the inheritance. You see, in the year of Jubilee, everyone's inheritance was restored. In Israel, everyone had their plot of ground given to the family from the days they'd entered into the land of Canaan. You'd think of it a bit like the family croft. If you get a family croft, it's precious to you. The ground might be useless ground. You might not work that ground, but there's something special about it because it's, well, it's the family croft. It's been in the family for a long while. It's a piece of ground that might not actually be, in monetary terms, worth much. But that's irrelevant. It's the inheritance. Well, you could think of that plot of ground in Israel a bit like the family croft. And there were times when it had to be sold because the person had got into dire straits. He needed the money. But in the year of Jubilee, the inheritance was returned. And therefore the poor could rejoice when they heard the joyful noise of the Jubilee trumpet. That ground that I had to sell because there was no other way to make ends meet is restored to me again. Restored to the family again. And the gospel is not the restoration of an inheritance. You see, when man fell into sin, he lost much. He was thrown out of the Garden of Eden, out of the dwelling place of God. And there's a wonderful inheritance restored in Christ. There's the inheritance of heaven, given to all those who trust in Christ. Are right entitled to heaven above. But what is it makes heaven heaven? It's the fact that God is there. It's the fact that it is the place where God is enjoyed in the fullness of His blessedness. And therefore the psalmist could say, God is of mine inheritance and cup the portion. What is it that those who trust in Christ have? fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, with God's smile upon them, in fellowship with God, enjoying the presence of God. Friend, you were made to know God. You need to know God. You're lost and empty without him. Here is the inheritance that is restored in the gospel. What is life eternal? To know thee, the only true God. To be in fellowship with God. To have peace with God. And know the blessing of having God as our God. And of course, that will be experienced fully in heaven itself. Need can't we see this? That the gospel is not only a joyful news because it announces release for the debtor, liberty for the captive, restoration of the inheritance. It also announces rest. During the year of Jubilee, the land had to rest. It was supposed to rest every 7 years. Can you picture that? Every 7 years. Someone, a farmer, not having to work his land, and God promising that he wouldn't lose out because of that. There would be plenty enough the year before to make do. God knows the ground needs rest. And therefore it was to be given rest every 7 years. And then every 7 times 7 on the 50th year, there was this rest again given. The people had rest if the ground had rest, because they didn't have the same work to do. In other words, the joyful sound of the gospel is surely this: there is rest in Christ Jesus. Rest from that agitation looking for meaning in life. Rest for the soul that's trying to find peace with God. Rest for the soul that's looking for hope and wondering how they can have hope in this life and that which is to come. Rest in the midst of the trials of life, because although trials might be there, there's someone who promises to help them and to strengthen them and to keep them. A rest which is a foretaste of the rest of heaven itself. Do you see why the Jubilee trumpet must have been so appreciated by the people? Friend, the gospel sounds out joyful news. How do you respond to it? What is your reaction to this joyful news? Well, let's notice, secondly, the reception given to this joyful news. We might say there would be 3 different responses. And friend, you are somewhere here in these responses this evening. The first response might be this: some despise it. Think of the year of Jubilee. If you lend someone money, you're not very pleased that the year of Jubilee returns and the debt's cancelled before you get your money back. Are you a slave owner? Soon this valuable slave is going to be lost. Are you a landowner and you've enjoyed cultivating that extra bit of ground and it's doing well, you've improved it, all of a sudden it reverts back to its owner. And therefore, for many, the year of Jubilee might appear to signify loss. How they would hate to hear the joyful sound, or at least some of them would. And with the gospel, it's the same. Christ's enemies despise the gospel. The devil hates the gospel. Why is it he wants to blind your heart? Why is it he wants to distract you and turn you away from the truth? Because he will not have loss He wants to keep you within his clutches. He wants to prevent you from sharing in the blessings of the gospel. He despises the gospel. Ah, but sadly, there are sinners who need the gospel to despise it as well. There are those who, well, they love sin. Is that you? You'd be a bit like a slave that's very happy to remain a slave in his master's house. Now, if it was a good master, that would be a different thing. But the devil's a rotten master. He never pays any good wages. And who is out to destroy your soul and the souls of many others. He's a murderer, a liar from the beginning. It's foolish to love sin, and yet so many do. And perhaps you despise the gospel because it calls you a sinner. You don't want to hear such things. You don't want to hear wrongdoing labeled as sin. You want to do your own thing. And you don't realize you're a slave. And you are hell bound. Perhaps you feel you have no need of this good news. Or you will try and free yourself from the difficulty you're in. A free, gracious forgiveness. Well, I'd rather pay off the debt myself rather than have it cancelled. I would rather free myself from the power of sin rather than look to someone else to help me. I would rather win salvation for myself. You want to work at salvation. Friend, it is madness to despise the gospel. It is madness to love sin or to love a works gospel. Do not despise it. Because this is the good news that you need. And despising it will leave you in danger of destruction and hell. Some despise it. No doubt some ignored it. The trumpet's blown. The year of Jubilee is announced. And here are people, perhaps they're debtors, or they're slaves, or they've had to sell a bit of ground. And they're aware of the situation, and yet they ignore the trumpet. We're all very good at not doing things we know we should do. There's not many of us don't need reminding about doing all sorts of important things. You see, it's so easy to be aware of your need and yet taken up with other things. That could happen in Israel. And that can happen with the gospel. You let it slip. The day of Jubilee is announced. The day of God's acceptance, of God's salvation is announced. And yet, aware that there are matters that need attending to, that you need to be converted, that you need to come to Christ, at the end of the day, you ignore the good news. Perhaps some ignore it because they don't feel their need. And others are saying, well, we'll deal with these things later on. But what's the trouble? You end up a bit like Felix. At times he trembled when he heard the gospel, but he said, we'll deal with it later on. And the impression we're given from Scripture is, he never did. Friend, do not ignore the good news. It is madness to remain in slavery, in poverty, and under God's judgment, because simply you're saying, yes, I know I'll have to deal with it at some point. Here is the most important thing to deal with. As you draw up your list of priorities for another week, what's the first priority that should be there? Dealing with the gospel, being right with God through Jesus Christ. And if nothing else is done, what does it matter? Because that is the one thing needful. Do not ignore it. Saying, I'll sort it out later. That is the way to perish. There are some, thankfully, that truly value this announcement of good news. The Jubilee trumpet is blown. How many people would rejoice at the blessings brought to them? Deliverance from debt, freedom for the slave, the inheritance restored, rest for the weary soul. Wonderful. I'm going to make sure I share in these things. Friend, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. You notice it doesn't say blessed is the people that hear it. Because you can hear it and despise it. You can hear it and ignore it. What you need to do is value it. And that knowing the joyful sound speaks of valuing it, of understanding it, of heartily receiving it, believing what it speaks of. In other words, you must receive it by faith. You must rely on Christ for all things. And if you're doing that, you're amongst the blessed people that know. Yes, they really do know. They understand what it means. They rejoice in what it means. They say, yes, I'll have these blessings. I want them. I need them. They are offered to me. I take them. Because they are freely offered in the gospel, and I will make them mine. How? By trusting. By receiving. By resting on Christ. Friend, is that your response? It must be. Let it be your immediate response. Let it be a definite response. You see, in the year of Jubilee, it lasted only a short time. And if people did not avail themselves of the blessings during that acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, they lost them. There's no point the year after saying, wait a minute, I'm a slave, the trumpet's just been blown, I should be free. Think how often we receive special offers for things. And often we'll say half price for a limited period only. Redeem this coupon by such and such a time. What happens if you go to the shop and it's a day or two late? They say, well, I'm sorry. It's all very embarrassing, doesn't it? It's out of date. It's too late. It doesn't count anymore. Friend, now is the day of salvation. And now is the day to respond to that joyful news of the gospel. You may not have another day. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. When Jesus Christ is passing by in the gospel. And if you're sitting there saying, yes, I know that's what I need, but well, another time, I'm too young, I'm too busy, I've too many things to attend to, the danger may be that a day of the Lord's drawing near to you may not come again. Is the Lord speaking to you this evening, friend? Is he saying to you, you need this Christ, and you cannot deny such a thing? Well, value that gospel. Do not lose out on blessing. Do not endanger yourself through delay. Embrace the Saviour. Receive this news as welcome news. And say, I'll have that as my way of salvation. Do it now. Do not delay. Notice thirdly, in conclusion, the effect of knowing the joyful news.
What does it bring? First of all, fellowship with God.
They shall walk in the light of thy countenance.
Do you love the gospel? What does it bring?
Peace with God. God is your friend.
Not his frown, but his friendly smile.
The light of his countenance. His favour, his blessing.
That's what happens when you receive
this joyful sound.
What else does it lead to?
A holy life before God.
He says, they shall walk or live, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Well, have you received this joyful sound? How's it shown? Not only in a life of fellowship with God, and enjoying his blessing and being able to draw near to him and knowing his presence, it also leads to holiness. Because it leads to people walking before God, walking in his presence. And you see, if we're going to be before the Lord, we must be holy. It leads to a hating of sin, because we've seen what it is, seen what it did to Christ, seen how dishonoring it is to God. It leads to loving God with all the heart. It leads to liberty. It leads to godliness. And a third thing, joy in the Lord. It's a joyful sound.
When you hear a joyful sound, it can make you joyful yourself.
Was that not the response of those who receive the joyful news? It gives them joy. It gives them gladness. Friend, has the Lord come and delivered you from sin, from being a debtor, from being a slave? Has he given you himself and the hope of heaven to look forward to? Has he given you rest? Aren't you amazed at God's grace? And how you love him, and how you want to serve him, and how you have joy and peace in believing. And even though trials and troubles come, isn't it true that the joy of the Lord is your strength in the midst of these things? What blessings! Fellowship with God. Holy life before God. Joy in the Lord. They come to all those who receive and who know the joyful news. Well, the gospel jubilee has been blown anew this evening. What's your response? How do you respond to this joyful sound? Are you despising it? Friend, you're despising the thing you need. That's foolish. Are you ignoring it? Well, if you're ignoring it, you're acting foolishly. Because this is the remedy that you need. What should you do? Value it and respond to it, looking to the Lord to deal with those spiritual problems that you have, looking to the Lord to be the one who would bring you all the blessings that the gospel jubilee trumpet speaks of. As long as you trust in him, you'll be blessed. Make sure your trust isn't him. Make sure this evening that you've responded in faith to the gospel trumpet announcing the wonderful year of Jubilee, the way of salvation, the year of salvation for poor sinners. Let us pray.